I'm blessed to know a lot of different authors and leaders in the conservative movement. One of them is a dear friend. We've known her for a long time, Bunny Pounds. She has a new book out titled Jesus and Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. It's got a foreword by James Robison. It's been featured on the stream in so many wonderful places. It is a pleasure to have Bunny here in the Economic War Room to talk about her new book. Welcome, Bunny.
Well, it's great to be with you, Kevin. Really appreciate you and Marnie so much in my life.
Well, you know, full disclosure, I need to tell you, Marnie is on the governing board of Christians Engaged, and I'm on the advisory board. We have been since the beginning. And Bunny, you came into the studio of Economic War Room and said, hey, I've got this idea. And here you are. You've got a new book out. Tell us, what is the story of Jesus and Politics?
Well, really, it's just about me, a homeschooling mom that said yes to God and said I will be obedient and step into politics, not knowing where that was going to lead 20 years later. Went back to college at Dallas Baptist University and became a campaign manager for a U.S. congressman, then became a consultant running one of the largest consulting firms in Texas and running for Congress myself. I mean, if you've told me, Kevin, 20 years ago as a homeschooling mom, that I would have all these crazy adventures with God in politics, I would have said, that's crazy. But I really want to inspire people that one person can make a difference. One person with an elected official can make a difference. One person advocating for a piece of legislation can make a difference. We all have a part to play now in this great republic.
You use the term, you know, campaign manager. It was not just your average congressman. This is a leader in Congress, and you were, as a result, connected to the future vice president and so many other amazing. I mean, you can't go into Washington, mention the name Bunny Pounds, and have people not take notice, because the Hensarling congressman, he was a big deal.
Yeah, he was conference chairman under Speaker Boehner, and then became chairman of financial services, dealing with everything housing, banking, and insurance in this country. So, yeah, it was an honor to learn lots of economic policy through him as well. He's one of my political mentors.
And then when he was retiring, you started to look for someone who could take his place, right? And tell how that went from there to you being a candidate.
Well, frankly, it's hard to go to Congress. How many people really want to go into a broken Washington, D.C.? And so we started looking for a candidate. I thought a certain state senator, Brian Hughes, would run. He didn't. We looked at a couple other candidates. Nobody would run. And all of a sudden, we had the fourth most liberal Republican in the Texas House running for my boss's seat. So at the end of that, I'm like, what am I doing? And like this mama bear instinct kind of hit me, you know, to protect the people I loved and I'd served in for 10 years in that district. And so I showed up at my boss's front door and told him, I'm running for your seat. I need your endorsement. And I really never saw that coming, Kevin. I never aspired to be a candidate. But, you know, God knows. And he moved me even through a $1 million race for Congress into what I'm doing today.
Well, you use the term mudslinging profession. I mean, you had to see it up close and personal as the mud was slung at you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody prepares you for a $1 million spin against you and your family. The TV ads, the radio ads, the mail pieces. You know, I was a swamp creature, a Washington insider, different things that they try to put you on labels because, what, I worked for members of Congress. I raised money for members of Congress. The beauty of this is if we walk with God, though, even in the midst of what looks like suffering and hard times, if we watch our hearts and our souls, which is really my testimony, somehow I've been in politics and government for over 20 years and I still love Jesus and he still has my heart, right? If we walk those seasons out, there's so much fruit that comes from it. And that's what I've seen even with testimonies in the book of me helping pay off my opponent's debt from the campaign. The guy that funded the super PAC against me just gave a check to Christians Engaged a couple weeks ago. I mean, God moves in wild ways if we watch our heart.
Yeah, well, it's obvious that God called you to run. He did not call you to win, but you learned through that process. And you came awfully close, but you learned through that process things that are helping you be engaged today. And that's the term, Christians engaged. So you didn't lose your Christianity. You kept your faith in Jesus. You know that our rights don't come from government. They come from God.
Amen.
And to that degree, I guess we've been labeled Christian nationalists. I think you could just stop with the term Christian and living out our faith. But yep. Then you went into a process of building a ministry that's grown very, very rapidly. Describe Christians Engaged and how you got there.
Well, there was three major holes in the conservative movement as it relates to engaging Christians. No one had built a get-out-the-vote system for the church in all 50 states. So we actually
now
created...
Now, let's stop there. A get-out-the-vote system for the church, not for a political party,
correct,
not for a candidate, but for the church, which is incredible. And it's just turned heads upside down in the IRS and everywhere else. But go back. No one had ever built this.
Exactly. We don't endorse political parties. We don't endorse candidates. But we want to find what I call the awakening church and plug them into habits of prayer, voting, and engagement. So we ask Christians around the country, whether that's in churches or social media or wherever we find them, to pray for 5 minutes a week for their nation, for their government officials, start voting in every election, and we send them a text when early voting starts and an email when early voting ends, 3 days before the election and an election day for every election in the country. And then we start training them of how to get involved, whether that's political parties, adopting candidates, going to their school board meeting, going to their city council meeting, advocating for a piece of legislation in their state house. We want to see Christians start actively engaging in their government.
And I just interviewed Tim Barton, and he talked about the original founding seven presidents, and they put the principle over party,
yeah.
And he said that doesn't happen today. So what you're talking about is a Christian principle. Mm-hmm. Your basis is the Bible.
Yep.
And that's why James Robinson and other, it's 700 Club and all the Christians endorse what you're doing. It's not party driven.
Right.
And yet that caused a conundrum for the IRS. Tell that story.
Yeah, and then that's in chapter 8 of my book. So we get a letter 18 months in. Again, we are only talking civics and biblical worldview. We're not talking, you know, endorsing parties or political candidates. We get a letter from the IRS that they're denying our tax exempt status because, catch this, Kevin, Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates, end quote.
Now, they didn't
from
say
the
that.
IRS.
They left the exact... Republican out, but that's what they meant. They said political party A or something ridiculous like that. But that's exactly what they were saying.
Yes. And they went on to say, because you're teaching on the sanctity of human life, debt and taxation, biblical justice, Israel, these things are inherently Republican, therefore you're not nonpartisan. Well, number one, I thought the Bible was written thousands of years, way before the United States or way before the Internal Revenue Service or a political party. Number two, we can mobilize Christians around public policy positions in a nonpartisan way, regardless, but the Bible, okay, public policy positions, fine. But yeah, thank God I just walked that letter over to my friend Kelly Shackelford at First Liberty Institute, and the rest is history. They took our case pro bono. We filed an internal appeal with the IRS, and 21 days later, we got our tax exempt status.
Well, I'm proud to be an advisory board member also at First Liberty with Kelly and known him for 20 plus years. I can imagine the IRS people, when they got the letter from First Liberty, it says, well, if these are traditionally Republican positions, then I'm assuming Planned Parenthood adopts traditionally, which is pro-choice and everything else, Democrat positions, so we should just defund Planned Parenthood. The panic that the IRS must have felt when they got that letter just astounds me.
Well, they do such great work at First Liberty, and we were a small ministry at that time. We didn't have the funds. I mean, literally, the IRS gave us 30 days to appeal that, and my general counsel attorney that helped us set up the ministry said it would cost $25,000 or $30,000 to do. I didn't have those resources, and because of that, First Liberty taking that case, we became a national story, and all of a sudden, thousands of people around the country are going online, taking our pledge to pray, vote, and engage, and we had to come up with a 50-state get-out-the-vote system. So it really took a Texas ministry and made us national.
Yeah, well, you want the lawyers that won four Supreme Court cases in 1 year on your side, and you've got them, and that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So Christians Engage today. What is it, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, well, step one is to take our pledge to pray, vote, engage on our website. Again, we're not going to overwhelm your inbox. We'll send you a pray, vote, and engage email every Monday, and then you'll get voting
and
reminders.
And the website is?
ChristiansEngaged.org. ChristiansEngaged.org. But we want to help every Christian start building these habitual parts of their life that really should be discipleship, Kevin. When Jesus becomes Lord of our life, he should become the Lord of our life over everything we do. And so though we're not telling Christians how to vote, we are believing if we give them the civic education engagement piece and we give them the Bible, that they start researching their ballot and starting realizing this is an important part of their Christian life.
Yeah, well, you can't compartmentalize Christianity. I mean, a question my friend Paul Blair asks is, exactly what part of your life is Jesus not Lord over?
Exactly.
Is he not Lord over your paying your taxes? No, he is. And we've got Christian admonitions to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Is he not Lord over your marriage? No, he is. And we've got biblical statements on what marriage should be, or raising your children, or how you react at work. Christianity is something that is a lifestyle as much as it is our reason for living, our passion, our hope for salvation, everything. And so why should politics be excluded from that?
Amen. And we've seen over 200,000 Christians now around the country get into our system where we can push them out to vote. We're building towards a million before the presidential election. But we also want to take a Christian that's like, you know what? I don't know anything. I don't know how to engage with government, and we help them with our on-demand video curriculum, like our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar, and teach them how to start engaging. Because I believe, Kevin, there's leaders out there all over the country that if they can get just a little bit practical knowledge and education, they can be like me, the little homeschooling mom that testified in front of a platform committee and now 20 years later is leading a movement to motivate Christians around the country.
Well, and you had someone who went through your course that just got elected or just won a primary in Super Tuesday. Tell that.
Yeah, so we had a young woman we scholarshiped to our Washington, D.C. trip last summer. She got really active with us, started going through our classes, and then spoke at our conference last year. And then she ran for state representative in Arkansas and is now the first 26-year-old youngest state legislator ever to be elected in Arkansas history. So we're real proud of Alyssa Brown.
Yeah, well, one of the things people say is, I wish more young people would get involved. I wish more ordinary people, but it takes too much time. It's too difficult. You've boiled it down to pray, vote, and engage, and then you've done your civic duty, and you can stand for Christ in those three areas.
Yeah, we're seeing people that want to run for office. We're putting out a whole campaign school also this month. We can empower them to do that. But also, Kevin, there's people that just need to start going to their Chamber of Commerce or their Homeowners Association or their Rotary Club. Go out in your community, take the gospel and be leaders and ask God where you're supposed to fit in. Everybody has a place. So we just try to mentor Christians in finding their place on that.
And this is not about, yes, Jesus and politics. Jesus comes first. This is not about
Amen.
Trying to fit a Christian version. Well, let me see. I'm going to give a justification from the Bible for my position. No, it's finding the position in the Bible and then standing up for it in the political realm.
Well, and the book is just crazy stories of me hearing from God, being obedient, discipling elected officials. There's so much in this book. I hope it's an easy read. I hope it's exciting. But I want to inspire people. Go out there and walk with Jesus. If you're spending time in meditation, the word, worship, and prayer, and you walk with him every day, man, he can use your life in a powerful way. And that's my story.
Yeah, well, I read the book before it was published because I was honored to be one of the people to write one of the
endorsements.
You've got a foreword here by, or an afterword by Michelle Bachman, a foreword by James Robison. So, I mean, those are some powerful people. This is the book, Jesus and Politics. It's written by Bunny Pounds. It tells her story, but it also tells it in a practical way so that you can apply what she went through and what she learned and how you can make it real in your life. And it's already working, as we just saw on Super Tuesday, people getting actively involved. Get the book, Jesus and Politics, and sign up at ChristiansEngaged.org. Thank you, Bunny.
Thank you, Kevin, so much.